Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Commander Scott here.
Mr. Scott, where's the captain?
He's been separated from us. Commander Bem ran off for some reason. They're in the forest.
The captain is not answering his communicator, and it does not show up on the scanning grid. It's as if its responder has been disconnected. We're picking up increased activity from that anomaly. Is Mr. Spock with the captain?
Aye. They both went after Commander Bem.
Lieutenant Arik, start a sensor scan for Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. Landing party, prepare to beam up.
Lieutenant Uhura, we could track the captain down.
I'm sorry, Mr. Scott, that's not procedure. We can't take chances.
We're talking about the captain.
I know it, but we have to follow his orders. Stand by to beam up.
Standing by.
Let's de-snarfify.
Okay.
I'm fully snarfed. We gotta de-snarf all our snarfs over the course of the next hour and a half. We gotta de-snarf.
I think I don't have any snarfs in me.
Get the fuck out.
Okay. I was kind of curious what would happen if I just sort of didn't say anything.
That's what happened. Why don't you try it again, see what happens?
No, I think we got our answer there. Okay, we'll get started here.
Okay.
This evening, tonight.
Hello.
We would like to welcome everyone to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Specifically, we would like to welcome you to the 217th episode.
Pleasure excursion.
of the podcast. And to our astute listeners, who have been paying close attention both to their podcast player and social media and last week's episode, will know that this week we are discussing two episodes from Star Trek, the animated series.
Mm.
And those two, Jesse, put that pen down.
That's what I just did.
Put the pen down.
That's what I did.
You're going to drive me mad.
No, I'm finished with the pen.
Okay.
No more
patience.
Okay. All right. Okay. We're very chill. We're going to have a very chill, calm time.
No pen clicking.
So, two episodes of Star Trek the Animated Series.
This voice you're doing is kind of...
It'll be a nice, calm discussion.
Well, this calm voice you're doing is kind of stressing me out, actually.
I don't mean to stress anybody out.
Listen, Dan.
Just want to make sure
we're just going to talk about two episodes.
Having a good time.
Of the animated series.
Doing our podcast, the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Shut up.
I'm trying to be calm because we have a few things to go over. We got these two episodes. I think there's going to be plenty of excitement.
Are there news and mobs?
There's some news em ups. There's some correct em ups.
Yes.
Erotem ups.
Erotic em ups. No, that's for our Patreon feed. It was the erotic em ups. Yeah. Yes. So this week we will be discussing Bem.
That Pandra.
Oh, shit.
What are you doing?
I fucked it up.
All right. Well, unfuck it.
Okay. What are we watching again?
We're watching Bem.
That Pandronian's actions just don't make sense.
Yes, and we'll get into that. And the Practical Joker.
We fell for your juvenile joke.
Star Trek, the Animated Series, Season 2, Episodes 2 and 3. After this, there are only three left, and then we will have concluded
coverage. It's an odd number.
Because for those who are unaware, we have covered each and every previous episode of Star Trek, the Animated Series, going way back into our library.
We have usually done two of them at a time, except that one time we did one, and that's why we're off. And there's three left.
We did one and a short trek. Yeah. We did the Tribbles one. More Tribbles.
Right. Beg pardon, sir.
So, please go back and listen to all those episodes. They're great. And the easiest way to find them is to go to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, and click on the menu where you can organize by series and click
this
on the animated
good.
Series. Yeah. You'll figure it out. It is pretty self-explanatory.
Assistance is offered.
Your assistance, Dan, is declined.
Oh. You know, if I play a sound and then I try to change pages in this app while a sound is playing, it cuts the sound off.
Well, now you know.
So, like, I can't switch pages until the sound is finished. Otherwise, it cuts the sound off. I just learned that.
Well, and now the audience has learned along with Jesse and I.
We've
all learned this together. We're all up to date now.
This is a peer behind the curtain. Is that how you say it? Or a look-see behind the blankie?
Are you like Oz?
Is it a look-see behind the blankie?
The look-see.
The look-see.
Let's take a little look-see behind the blankie.
Yeah.
All right.
So, let's peel back the blankie.
Peel back the blankie.
Blanky, blanky.
We will be discussing BEM.
Harry Ben BEM of the planet Handel.
and the Practical Joker. We'll be getting to those momentarily. But first...
He's split into three individual parts.
First, we have some news-em-ups.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
I need a news-em-up sound.
You do need a news-em-up sound. Yeah, news-em-up, and then...
Okay. Let's do it!
and some correct-em-ups. We'll do the news-em-ups first, I think.
Sabotage.
So first, by the time you are hearing this episode on Monday, because I know everyone listens to the episode right when you can download it.
That's what it seems like. Everybody's like,
get to the back of the boat!
Okay. I don't even know what that's a reference that was, from.
That was, get to the chopper.
That was an impression of Jimmy Fallon doing an impression of Adam Sandler on SNL.
Okay.
Get to the back of the boat.
All right. Excellent. Deep cut there.
You're a silly guy, aren't you?
But by the time you have listened to this, I will have competed against Isaac from Unplanned Trek and Jack Dorino from Let's Talk About Treks on the Trexperts quiz, which will be on YouTube.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so I will put the
remarkable.
Link, I will put the link to that in our show description. So you
fascinating.
May, you may click on that. So be sure to check that out. The Trexperts
quiz.
This
is good.
We'll keep you posted on that. We'll remind you next week as well, and on social media. Also coming up on December 9th is the 4th annual Trek Time Awards.
Oh boy!
Over on the Trek Time Channel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We will also have the link to that. In our show notes as well.
You will require
show notes.
Yes, and you will see appearances from many Star Trek podcast luminaries, including your friendly boys here at the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Friendly boys?
I heard there were no notes like show notes.
Okay, I don't know what Jesse's talking about. Dan's clicking buttons.
Something funny is going on.
I'm just trying to finish up the news and the mumps.
I'm keeping up.
So yes, please tune in on December 9th to the live 4th annual Trek Time Awards, but of course they will be available for viewing after the fact.
This is good.
Remarkable.
And then a heads up, we do have a special treat for the second break, Funzie Times.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the potential inspiration for Star Trek the Animated Series episodes. A bit of a deep dive into the history. Not that deep. Not much of a dive. More like a wading into a shallow, murky, shallow corner.
Is it around the corner?
Shallow murk.
Anyway.
Is it in the hole and around the corner?
Sludge.
Deep in the hole and around the corner?
Okay. What are you getting at, Dan?
You said it was shallow.
Is this an up your butt and around the corner type gag?
No.
Man, that's not appropriate.
I think that you were trying to skirt our no up the butt and around the corner gags rule. Which I know is it's not a hard and fast rule.
Well, it's just not appropriate for podcasts.
It's not. We are a classy podcast.
Embarrassment results.
Okay.
I am humbled.
Okay, the animated series has all these sad characters that are always like,
and they're all voiced by James Doohan.
Yeah, that's right.
And for some reason,
I'm so lonely.
And for some reasons, the Romulans sound very non-threatening at all times in the animated series. Okay. They sound like these weird chumpy counterparts.
Hey there, buddy.
Like, I don't know, guys.
Okay, we'll get to all that in a second. But first, we have some correct-em-ups.
Commander, our instruments are useless in this field. We've lost contact with the Federation ship.
That's a fucking Romulan.
It sounds like an American.
We've been tricked. After them.
I want
that Federation ship blasted into space
dust. That's my favorite one. Blasted into space dust. Okay, anyway.
Those are Romulans.
I'm going to bust your ass, buddy.
Well, we'll get to all that.
Yes.
We'll get to all that soon. But first, we do have a voicemail from Jesse at the Crusher Convo podcast.
Ray.
I typoed here and I typed the Crusher Condor podcast, which I misspoke and I referred to them as the Crusher Condo podcast.
Crusher Condo.
That's really weird.
The the Condor.
Crusher Condor.
The Condor Condo podcast.
I don't know. A condor, is that like a rehabilitation clinic for California condors? I understand they're doing quite well these days.
That's one of those animals that's coming back.
I heard that's a success story.
Is
like the Eagles?
What about Koji Kondo? Is it like Koji Kondo?
Is that a video game reference?
He's a Japanese music composer, pianist, and sound director.
Oh, he's that dude.
Oh, yeah.
For the video game company Nintendo. Yeah. Nintendo.
He did a lot of that.
But I thought Genesis can do what Nintendo.
He's known for Super Mario. He's known for Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda, but I'm sure he's done more.
Is he dead?
This is the new segment.
He's age 62.
Is he still going?
Is he dead?
He's 62.
Okay, right on. I'm sorry. Okay. One of those guys died.
All right. People are dying all the time.
Game over.
We got to continue podcasting, nevertheless.
What, people are dying? Oh.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
It's a different podcast.
So we have to continue this podcast, and so let's play the voicemail from Jesse, which is referencing last week's episode in which we discussed Star Trek Voyager's Cold Fire.
Hey, guys, it is Jesse. I just wanted to tell you I just listened to your last episode of Cold Fire.
Oh, no.
And I got two things to tell you. One, I honestly don't know if the writers knew what to do with Kes, because I know you guys were talking about the whole Ocampa and how it didn't really go anywhere. And I know we know very little about what happened with the actress, but I think it was just a domino effect with not knowing what to do with this new species, not knowing what to do with the character herself, and then the behind-the-scenes issues with the actress. I think that's why it just didn't go anywhere. So I just kind of wanted to give my two cents about that. But I also wanted to let you guys know that DeVry Institute is a national institute. So Dan is correct. We did have them in California. And I think there's also some in Illinois. But anyways, I wanted to mention that. So Dan, you are correct. Congratulations.
Right on, dude.
Hell yeah.
But that's all I wanted to say. So yeah, again, love the episode. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Dan loves hearing that he's correct. But there's some twists and turns here.
Uh-oh.
I've done some research.
Uh-oh.
No, thank you.
I think we all come out looking pretty good and looking pretty bad in this.
Uh-oh. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
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 First.
Thank you.
Forgot how many. So you keep saving up more and more thanks yous. Every week.
Every time.
The list of thank yous gets longer. Did you have
thanks,
a new one?
Thanks,
Was there a new one this week?
I don't think there was any thank yous this week.
Kirk didn't thank any Ghost of Horrors or anything?
No.
Okay. All right. So
no, but that's awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you for supporting me in my rightness.
Okay. Well, we're gonna get a lot of
supporters.
We're gonna get
there.
To that in 1 second. I did want to first comment on the point about Voyager. I agree. We didn't really touch base on, you know, there was some behind the scenes stuff that, you know, who knows exactly what the details are because, you know, it was the 90s.
It's murky.
It's the 90s.
The actor's name is Jennifer Lien.
Yes.
Yeah.
But who knows exactly, like I said, what the story was.
I
but
saw
clearly
her,
there was some stuff.
I saw her. She was an SLC punk. She played.
Really?
Yeah,
she was.
She played the girlfriend of.
Wasn't that around the same time?
Of Matthew Lillard's girlfriend or love interest or
wasn't
whatever.
That 95, 96? Yeah.
It was 98.
Oh, 98.
And
yeah.
She in the same year, she was in American History X.
That's right. I do remember
damn,
that.
Damn, dude. She's in the Punk Rock Actors Guild.
I think Jesse's right that there's like just a combination of things that didn't help the whole Ocampa as a group of people sort of was confusing. And then the specific stuff with Kes was confusing.
It's like, why would you have a lifespan so short?
Yeah. So thank you for that comment. Now. Here's the correct-em-ups, right? So Jesse has already provided one correct-em-up that is semi-correct about DeVry, right? So DeVry, it wasn't fully national. It was in 18 states at its peak and had lots of campuses. It was in all the big states, like it was in New York and California and the D.C. area.
Right. It's like a technical school?
Yeah, they did. And it was started back in,
Jesse said I was right. She said I was right, and I'm right.
Okay.
All right. That's all there is to it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. In fact, I think you're definitely right,
Jesse,
about something.
Jesse, she knows what's up.
Yeah, no, Jesse does know what's
up. Clearly.
But there is an added complication here. You will understand, Dan. Worry not, my friend.
Well, I'm not worried.
Worry not. Sounds you like, look real fucking worried.
No, you
over
sound
there.
Like it sounds like you're on the defense here.
I'm not on the defense. I'm worried that you might be worried.
He's on the
you're worried. Oh, now he's trying to say he's worried about me.
No, I'm
he's
not worried.
He's actually worried
about,
himself.
Now you're
I'm not
on
worried
the
about you. I'm not worried about you.
No, I was just saying you're deflecting because you're actually worried about yourself.
DeVry, you could go different ways. It's probably technically not a quote unquote national company because it was only in 18 states, but it did cover
Norman?
A huge proportion of the U.S., right? So it was
Norman,
pretty,
Oklahoma?
Pretty.
No, like Norman French.
What? So DeVry did cover a lot of places, but here's the issue. The issue, what we were all wrong about,
uh-oh,
was Sally Struthers.
No.
This is all about Sally Struthers.
Fascinating.
And Dan's point. Okay. And you know, let me back
Sally
up a bit.
Struthers.
Oh God, we got to back up.
No, it's not much because I do want to provide some context from people who didn't hear last week. All of this started, and what Jesse is referring to, all of this started because Dan said that Sally Struthers would not do commercials for anything other than a national level. That Sally,
yes.
That Sally Struthers, she was at such a degree of fame, mm-hmm, that anything other than a national campaign.
She was at least A-minus list.
Yeah. So
maybe B-plus list.
And
yeah.
I
TV.
Yeah,
TV stuff.
I forget what I can't even remember the context of my comment.
I mean, she was in All in the Family, right?
Yeah. Wasn't on All in the Family,
which was an A show back then, right?
Yeah,
A level
show.
That
was a show.
She did other.
That
things
was like
well.
In terms of popularity, it was an A list show.
That was quite a show.
But what we all got wrong was that Sally Struthers did not do commercials for DeVry. She did commercials for ICS, the International Correspondence School.
Oh, yeah,
is that where you can? Is that where you're? If you're unemployed or underemployed?
Yes,
that
those
was that
were those. Those
I was always wondering
commercials
about being underemployed.
Yeah, it was ICS, International
like
Correspondence School, which was founded in Scranton,
so
PA.
That sounds about right.
It was founded in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in 1890.
Good old Scranton,
and has gone through several owners since 1979. In 2005, you don't see commercials for it anymore because its name in 2005, they changed it to Penn Foster. And ooh, then that company has been bought out by other things, but it's still called that. But the thing is, it's the International Correspondence School. So I think that's where I was incorrect, and Dan definitely was correct, even though we had the specific trade school incorrect. It was an international level, so of course... That's why Sally Struthers could do the commercials.
Didn't
for that.
She also do like some kind of Save the Children?
She did do the Save the Children. And then like because of the 1980s was the way the 1980s was, she was made fun of for that.
Yeah.
Which wasn't that cool. Remember in
right,
Living Color?
Because people were
and
terrible.
Saturday Live did that in the 80s and 90s.
By the way, we're about 17 minutes in and we haven't started talking about Star Trek yet.
Yeah, we have.
I've been talking
about
Star
about,
Trek
like,
the whole time.
Well, okay. We've been talking about not this episode, well, these
anyway,
episodes.
Anyway, all that's the all it is? That's the correction.
No, okay. No, that is important.
ICS.
I'm glad you brought that
ICS.
Up. No, I'm glad.
IC Wiener.
I'm glad.
Both Dan and I looked at Jesse like, huh? Oh,
I'm
what?
Paralyzed.
thank you for explaining that, Patrick, because now I'm smarter as a result, and now I know more things than I did before, and it was interesting. It was
hey Dan,
would you
it
say
up.
It was enlightening?
We gotta get to talking about Star Trek.
It was. I'm just saying. No, it's. I'm not being sarcastic or anything or facetious or I'm not being feces or whatever.
Feces.
Because I felt rude for trying to move the
Uranus?
Show. I felt rude for trying to move the show on when
you
I actually when I was actually very appreciative of what you just did. Thank
I
you.
Bet you the audience is appreciative of your efforts to move the show along.
Fascinating.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it. Let's get into Bam.
Whoa.
Ari Bim
Bam Bam of the planet Pandro.
This is the episode where we get the middle name for Kirk. We find out his middle name
that's
is Tiberius.
Right.
This is the first time you hear
on screen.
I am
James,
Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
Is that the first one, really?
Yeah, this is the first time that
in
you
history.
Hear. You know that, I think, I guess it's been established that it was T was the initial, perhaps.
Yeah, in
so you never
the pilot in the pilot in Where No Man Goes has gone before. The gravestone said James R. Kirk. Later, they in TOS it was James T. Kirk, but you didn't know what the T stood for. And I believe it was in books and or comics that they started using Tiberius was the more common one, and then and then this episode. And David Gerald wrote this, and he was so I think David Gerald was like, I'm going to put Tiberius
Gerald
in the official on screen canon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hell yeah, dude.
And it also gave us the Pandronians. Like we who didn't see at all until Lower Decks.
That Pandronian's actions just don't make sense.
Planet Pandro will be much displeased.
Where they're totally goofing on the Pandro.
Do you remember?
Do you remember time when we fell in love?
Do you remember the name when we first met?
Do you remember who?
Do you remember?
Do you remember?
Do you?
I can't sing as high as Michael. But.
Yes, of course not. But do you remember the name of the Pandrolivian.
The Pandroson Clonian.
Do you remember?
The Pandrissimo Felissimo.
What do you say?
The Pandro van Banlanso.
Do you?
Lord Pandro of Pandroson.
What are you saying over there?
Do you remember
the time when we fell in love?
Do you remember
when we first met?
You see, if he was doing this to you, you'd be getting all riled up.
You got me there. You got me there.
The name of the Pandronian,
but he keeps saying funny things like that.
The name of the Pandronian in Lower Decks. All right, so in Lower Decks, we have the Pandronian. Do you remember the name? Do you remember the name of the Pandronian in Lower Decks?
I don't remember, but I remember the.
Her name was Sherry Yin Yem.
Yin Yem. Oh, that is.
He's Ari Bin Bem.
Oh, okay.
And she was Sherry. Yeah. Sherry Yin Yem.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandora.
Now
I like that. Is that one of the ones you've labeled beats?
No, it wasn't. I have a couple.
Oh, damn.
Because that
dude.
Feels like it could be a little beat. You want to try it out? Just like a little test?
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. 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 Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
You may demean yourself. Demean yourself. If you wish. If you wish. You may demean yourself. Demean yourself. If you wish. If you wish. You. May demean yourself if you wish. Yeah, if you wish. If you wish. You may demean yourself if
funky.
You wish.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
like
a beat.
Yeah,
there was a beat for sure.
You may demean yourself if you wish. If you wish. If you wish. If you wish. You may demean yourself if you wish.
Every day, dude.
You need like a finishing tag on that last one.
You may demean yourself.
What you think? What you think?
Yeah, that was for real.
That was good.
You may demean yourself. Demean yourself if you wish. If you wish.
Right. That was a beat.
And this totally counts as talking about the episode.
That
in my
was
book.
Sick, dude. Right.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
He split into three individual parts.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
Ari Bin Bem
split into three individual parts. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
Pandronian's actions just don't make sense.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro. Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
He split into three individual parts.
Ari Bin Bem of the planet Pandro.
The system is down.
The system is down. Do loot loot. Do loot loot.
This is a weird episode, am I right?
This episode makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, it's a really peculiar one.
That Bem guy sucks.
I had watched this one not too long ago. In fact, I guess it was when Lower Decks had the Pandronian, and I remembered, and I was like, oh, I want to remind myself before I watch that episode of Lower Decks.
Oh, by the way, good call on the Ari Bin Bem beat. That was a good beat. The Ari Bin Bem.
I was
Bem
digging
Bem.
That.
Oh, it's spelled, by the way, it's B-N space B-E-M.
Yes.
So Bin Bem. So how do you spell
Bin Bem?
So is Yin Yem? You think it's Y-N?
I don't think I know. It's Y-N.
I don't think I know.
It's Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Yin, Y-N, Yem. Yeah. Y-E-M. Sherry Yin Yem.
And he's Ari Bin Bem.
He's Ari Bin Bem and she's Sherry Bin Bem. Sherry Yin Yem.
Sherry Yin Yem and Barry Bin... Sherry Yin Yem and Ari Bin...
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so what were you saying, Patrick? You were saying something.
I said this was a fucked up weird episode.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what was going on. I do have one moral that came out of it. The only moral I was trying to write down, I was like, all right, what's the moral of this story? And the moral of the story is like,
fucking weird.
It's like sometimes you just you meet a piece of shit and you just got to deal with it. You just got to deal with the fucking,
I know,
you just got to deal with an asshole.
And you have to rescue him, too.
You just got
to
just keep dealing with a complete lunatic.
He was shady from the get-go.
He was.
Like, Kirk was like, okay, what's your deal, dude? And like all of a sudden he was like, I'm going to get involved in this shit.
And it had something that you don't have a lot on Star Trek. Most people on Star Trek, the aliens talk basically normally. And I know I'm normalizing to human speech, all that, blah, blah, blah. It's Western.
We're all humans here.
But I do like the idea of saying, oh, we want to have somebody whose actual language patterns are weird and disturbing. I like that in principle. In practice here, it's upsetting.
It's a little upsetting. Yeah.
Can you play some key examples that are upsetting quotes from
animated
from
series
Ari Bin
upsetting
Bem?
Voice.
There it is.
Mr. Scotty. Patience.
Ari Bin Bem.
Oh, that's Kirk. Sorry. That was wrong. there is a
embarrassment results. This unity is defective. Assistance is offered.
The assistance is offered is probably the thing that really, like, here, let's play in like a nice clean assistance is offered.
Assistance is offered.
Offered.
Yeah.
Offered.
Then there's
that really creeps me the fuck out.
Then there's
this one is still an eggling.
I did like that.
There's one that is two sentences. I split into two sound bites, but I'm telling you this because I'll play one after the other, and it doesn't sound like they follow, but they do follow in the show.
Compliance with orders is this one must disassemble.
That was in the episode. Yeah. Like I played two sounds, but those were literally right next to each other. So the first one was compliance with orders is, and then period, and then it goes
this one must disassemble.
So like and that's even how it is in the script, in the script, the transcript. It says compliance with orders is period.
Is that a transcript you got off of Chakotay.net?
No other. There's no other.
I mean, there are others,
but not others that I use unless I have to. Yeah, compliance with orders is period. This one must disassemble.
Compliance with orders is this one must disassemble.
I don't understand like why. I guess I don't know if they forgot to put a word in there or something. I don't know. Another thing
I think they forgot a lot of things in this episode.
the next episode, real quick, there was I noticed
Practical Joker.
Some of the sound was like there was a lot of feedback in like the sound. Like they had like the gain turned up too high on the sound.
Very
or something.
Echoey.
It was a lot of like it was like a but
the 70s.
Yeah, maybe it was just the 70s. So like you were saying, this episode is about dealing with an asshole, but then, like, there's that whole bit with the entity. She's all,
if you disassemble,
it's Uhura.
You cannot learn from your error.
So, Ghost Uhura.
And so suddenly, it's
Ghost Uhura.
So this whole episode is about this guy, Bem, who's, like, this fucking asshole, but then suddenly it turns into a lesson about punishment and revenge. She's like, she's like, you know, be good and don't do fucked up shit. She says, because Bem goes, you do not demand punishment, and the entity is like, punishment? What is punishment? Revenge? Intelligent beings need no revenge. Punishment is necessary only when learning cannot occur without it. You are behind that. Right. I mean, that's a pretty cool statement when you think about it. But like the
thing
is, don't
hurt my lizard people.
But like that's what it turned into at the end of the whole episode was about this Bem fuck up, and then it just out of nowhere, out of left field, there's a lesson in punishment and revenge. Like just at the end, it was like it was another one of those I've talked about this. We've talked about this before. Some episodes it feels like it was written by like four different people, and then they each went to their separate room to write their own thing, and then they came back and like Mad Libbed their scripts together or some shit.
Or they squished together different ideas, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. That's possible, too. I agree. It's sort of off the wall. And part of it is, like, I'm not entirely clear.
Oh, I think this was a TOS one that they condensed.
It might have been. I mean, you know, they...
I think I was reading that.
That was definitely the case.
That's interesting. That actually that makes
for
sense.
Some TAS episodes, or at least the initial idea, even if it wasn't, like, a full script, per se, like, the idea maybe needed a bit more length. On the other hand, like, stuff that's unexplained, right?
I've got like four things that are four or five things.
Yeah. Okay, one thing I was wondering is just, I'm not 100% clear on what's going on in terms of, okay, they met the BEM people, the Pandorians.
Yeah.
Or Pandronians.
That Pandronian's actions just don't make sense.
Very meta.
Because he's fucking shady.
I thought that was actually pretty meta when he said that, because like I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I almost think it's David Gerald being like, I get it. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. And afterwards, Spock's like, well, it makes sense to them. And so that's just telling the audience, it's like, you don't have to know.
It's a cartoon for the children.
Yeah.
It's to sell cereal to the fucking children.
He's split into three individual parts.
Thank you for explaining that so concisely, Kirk. Yeah. So, okay. So they meet the Pandronians, and then now that they've met the Pandronians are all like, yo, take this piece of shit and let them hang out on your ship for a while. Kirk, there's all this exposition at the beginning of the episode where Kirk is all like, yo, you've been here for a long time. You've just holed up in your fucking room. You haven't talked to any of us.
And now you want to come out for the most dangerous mission.
Yeah. What the hell is that about? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It seems like there was some story beforehand we could have seen.
Well, like, also it's like, okay, they've set up why there's a discomfort. I understand that. Like from a literary sense, they want to show why Kirk is thrown off a little bit.
But it's a lot of this guy. But it's a lot for your mind to take in.
Well,
for
it exposition. Just also doesn't make any sense from because they at no point in the episode do they explain why he did that.
Right. Exactly.
Other than him just being like admitting that he's a dickhead.
Well, they don't explain a lot of things. Like, why does he suddenly run off? Like when they're in the woods, he like runs away. He
chases after and that's
he's fucking shady.
The dinosaur people.
And why?
He's a sneak.
Yeah. And okay.
And he takes their communicators and phasers.
Why does he take their communicators and phasers? Now,
at least later. Yeah. He says, because I'm a piece of shit.
Later, what he says is,
I am a piece of shit.
Embarrassment results. I am humbled.
Well, yeah.
Dickhead.
Should be humbled.
One thing he says is that he's scolding them for having phasers. He's like, you shouldn't try to solve your problem with phasers and
demean
stuff like
yourself with random violence.
Right. And
he's all like, oh.
Yeah, but I was looking to see if I had a. Oh, I. Oh.
Oh.
You may demean yourself. Demean yourself.
You may demean yourself if you wish. We need to take a break. And that won't demean us.
I had more to say about.
I know, and we're going
to
continue talking about this. So
more
when we
say,
come back, Dan will
more
continue.
To say, more to say,
continue talking
you
on this topic.
Demean yourself.
With a break. We will be right back.
We're back.
By order of Jesse.
Hello.
We have returned.
Hello.
We're going to continue Dan's series of points about what doesn't make sense with this episode.
He says, don't demean yourself with phasers and that.
May demean yours.
He says,
I know, it's pretty fucking catchy.
You may demean yourself if you wish.
Okay.
That's my jam, dude.
No doubt. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Chill voices.
My mind is trying to focus.
Hello.
Okay, so
Jesse and I are gonna calm down while Dan puts his thoughts together.
Hello.
So later on, he exchanges their communicator and their phasers out for fake ones. Later, we kind of get a hint why
underwater. He picks their
pockets. Yes. I'm getting to that.
I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Thank you. I appreciate you. I'm just trying to get through this thought.
Okay.
So he switches their shit out. And then later on the episode, we get sort of this hint as to why he might have done it, right? Because he's like, don't use phasers. You're a piece of shit for using phasers and stuff like that, right? But let's say that is true that, like, you know, like he wants to do things peacefully or whatever. Why didn't he at least fucking say something beforehand?
Right.
Not only why didn't he say something beforehand.
What's all the sneakiness?
Why did he sneak around?
He's a fucking dickhead.
And why did he switch
sneak
him?
Around.
And why did he switch him for fake ones?
Do the sneak around.
Yeah.
Okay, calm people. Why did he fucking switch their shit out for fake phasers and communicators?
Right.
Because like all that's gonna do is put them in danger later, which it did.
Yeah.
Because they thought they had real phasers and they don't have real phasers. So now when they think they can go into a scenario because they have phasers, they don't. If he was really anti-violence to that point,
it's fucked up.
If he was really anti-violence, he should have first talked to him beforehand. And if he was really militant about it, he could could have like stolen it from them, but at least told them beforehand, I'm not letting you go in with these. But to switch them out and make them think they had them, that's just a dick move.
It's also like that time when I took your student ID.
Yeah, what the? No, it was my fucking driver's license, I think, wasn't it?
No.
Or was it my student ID?
No, it was your like George Mason ID.
Oh, man. Yeah. For like 6 months.
I remember that.
And it was like.
Yeah, I was pissed.
It was a dick move.
Well, because like, yeah. I was like, I didn't have it. And I think one thing,
it was a hilarious practical joke that backfired.
And I think we were in 7-Eleven like 6 months later, and I go like, man, I can't seem to find my license. And like, you were just, or no, I was like, I can't find my student ID for whatever reason. I've been missing it for 6 months. You were like, oh, I think I might have it. I was like, what? And you pulled out your fucking wallet and you handed me my goddamn student ID.
I was like, wait a minute, why do I have?
I was flabbergasted.
I was too.
Because I wasn't even bringing that up to be like, Jesse, have you seen it? I was just lamenting the fact that I couldn't find it. And you were just
I think I saw that one recently. Yeah.
Jesse was just waiting for the perfect moment, the comedically perfect moment.
It's all about the timing.
I mean, this will live in infamy for forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the next thing.
Collected thoughts.
So we think he's a dick, right? And he's just this incompetent asshole. Now, there is a hint at something. Mm-hmm. So earlier when Bem is all, earlier at one point, Bem is all, we wanted you to prove yourself. And Kirk goes, this is not a laboratory, Commander Bem. This is a
laboratory, well, Commander
William,
Bem.
William Shatner is Canadian.
This is a...
So uncoached, he is bound to say things like laboratory or process.
This is
or
a...
project.
Toboggan.
This is a hostile planet. And representatives of Starfleet are not experimental animals for
did
you.
Did you say hostile?
Let me finish. Yes, okay. I did. Oh, yeah, I did say... I did. That's my
I'm
fault.
Just sorry, my brain was... Yeah. I was like, I don't understand what he's saying. And okay. Then my brain was like, okay, he means hostile.
That was my fault. Okay, I'll be normal. He says, Kirk gets mad. He's like, this isn't a laboratory, Bem. This is a hostile planet, and representatives of Starfleet are not experimental animals for you to test, okay? So Kirk says, we're not your lab rats to test on, right? So that implies there that maybe all this stuff Bem is doing is just the Pandronians, like, testing... Like the human's reactions to this guy who's a maniac.
Maybe. There's a hint at that.
Yeah, and so because he's like, we're not your fucking guinea pigs or whatever. But later.
Yeah.
So Kirk's pissed off at Bem because he thinks he's testing him. Then later, the entity goes to Kirk. The entity goes, why are you here? Why do you disturb this place? Kirk says, it is our mission. We must classify this planet. We have to test it. So Kirk is mad at Bem for testing them, but then Kirk admits to the entity that he's testing those creatures. I don't know if that was done on purpose.
I think it was. I do think that the hint of a more interesting and coherent story here is a comparison between different modes of quote-unquote observation, with the gag being that observation is not truly just observation. You end up interacting with the thing you're studying. Mm-hmm. And there is an interesting idea there with Bem manipulating their phasers and communicators, as well as other things, to cause them to be in danger in order to see how they react in an experimental way. And then, yes, you can compare that to the Federation insisting through its neoliberal formation to classify things and determine what things are and and create categories that are placed upon the things and shove things into the categories.
Okay.
I get that.
But
there are hints of that there.
But here's the thing.
But it doesn't actually happen.
No, because there's proof that this was not a test. There's proof is at the end of the episode, Bem goes,
embarrassment results.
Yeah. And he goes,
I am humbled.
You know, he's talking about like
embarrassment. He's also talking about committing suicide. Wait, wait, he wants to kill himself.
Yeah, that's when
his plan is to kill himself.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to find what
separate
this unity is defective.
Yeah, yes, that one.
This unity is defective.
So Bem goes, embarrassment results. This one is shamed. This one has failed in its judgment. Then Kirk tells him he's been fucking shit up, basically. And then Bem goes, this one exists by its own standards. Anyway, point being is that Bem is admitting right there that he's been fucking up this whole time.
As opposed to being like, oh, gotcha.
Yeah, right. So So was he testing? No, because he didn't. So right there,
yes, he was, but it was poorly written in terms of how it resolved by us.
Or by maybe him.
Because you could say his embarrassment was because he was now realizing that their longstanding form of testing people was lame.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's what other things.
That's possible. So you don't really get that
right. So it is
from the text.
Right. So it is possible that like he was testing him, but he realized it was shitty. It was a shitty test, but it seems to me like it was more that he didn't realize he was being like a piece of shit this whole time. So it's very confused. That's it. The message was, yeah, like you said, the message was confusing. We don't know if it was about sometimes you deal with an asshole. So you don't know if it's about
I before E except after C.
You don't know if it's about well,
a rule, which by the way is okay, wrong. Okay, more often than it's right.
You brought that up. Nobody asked. Nobody asked.
Well, I mean, I said it, and then I just wanted to make clear to the audience that I understand
Patrick, this is one of your this is one of your free association moments that this is very distracting.
Yeah, it's like one of the reasons why people listen to the podcast. They're like, that's so clever. I never thought of that before.
What
a clever guy that guy is.
Okay, what you were saying.
I was saying thank you, Jesse. I was saying, you don't know if it's an episode about, like, sometimes you have to deal with a fuck up. You don't know if it's an episode of perspective where it's like, well, Kirk is mad that they're being tested on, but then he ends up testing on the Aborigines. But then, and then at the end, there's the message about, like, revenge is bad and punishment should only be used as a last resort that just gets sort of shoehorned at the end out of nowhere. So, like, yeah, I don't know what the message of that episode was. I don't know what the point is. I don't know why Bem was doing all the crazy shit. Why is he even there? Why is he there to study the planet? We don't really know. Why do they want to explore this planet?
Pandronian that we see in Lower Decks is also testing them in a ridiculous way.
Yeah.
That's like, that's true. Like, so maybe everybody's like, this is fucked up.
So maybe that's a confirmation. So we don't know why Bem wants to explore this particular planet and why he stayed out for the other ones. We don't know why they're going through the woods and then Bem just takes off and fucking splits into five pieces and like
goes to the thorny forest.
But we also
I mean, we know he split into pieces to go through the forest.
Rainforest district.
But it's hilarious. It's hilarious. I think it's just Filmation learned a new trick where they can like separate the limbs of their cells.
And they did
cells.
It by accident.
Yeah, they like dropped some cell and cut it and they're like, oh,
hey Charlie, look at this. This is great.
We normally use these
the kids are gonna eat this shit up.
Normally we use these limbs all in conjunction. But if we separate them, we can make them float around.
This guy's got hands coming out of his pants.
It was
can you believe it?
It reminded me of there was a Simpsons episode called Lady Bouvier's Lover.
Yes,
and in that episode,
I recall that episode.
Yeah, Bart and I think it's Bart and Friends or something buy an itchy and scratchy official cell, an animation cell for $350, and it's just like Scratchy's arm or something. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of that because that's kind of like what exactly it looked like. The arms coming out of the fucking body.
Okay, you look up stuff. I just wanted to briefly touch on the other part of the thing that makes it confusing with the story. Is that you have the Ghost Uhura alien creature.
Right.
And there's like a whole potential episode there, but she makes a couple of interesting points, or it, I don't know, I don't want to misgender this floating color creatures.
Why are you here?
We don't know what the deal is, but there's a few points that are made that are good about, you know, leave people alone, don't be dickheads, you know, the punishment, don't need to be punished, just be not an asshole.
If you disassemble, you cannot learn from your error.
Yeah, just learn from me. That's all good. I'm not as big a fan of her endorsing some sort of hierarchical, like, marching from savagery to civilization type thing. I don't get. Is there some message here about, like, oh, you should leave these people alone because this god creature is going to slowly convince them over time to become industrialists? I don't know exactly what they.
It was the 70s.
So. Yeah, well,
and it was also weird because, like, she was pissed that they were there, like, pulling guns on her people. She's all,
go now.
Yeah,
I am angered.
And so they're like, okay, we'll go now, but we got to find our friend first. So we got to zap your dude some more before. Did you notice on the way out after he was like, oh, we're sorry, we'll go. She's like, yeah, get out of here. He's like, but we got to find our friend. friend, and she's like, I understand. Yeah. And then they go zap some of the Aborigines.
Yeah,
and
they totally zap
and
them.
Like right after she said, just trying to protect him, and she's basically like, I get it. You
know? He was like, okay, he was like, don't zap him unless it's absolutely necessary. But they start zapping him like right away because the lizard guys are all like, rah!
They're like horrifying monsters.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
I like a good lizard man.
One thing that I did think was really good about this episode, and it's something that Star Trek the Animated Series was generally really great at, was putting Uhura in charge of the Enterprise while other people were gone, and she didn't fuck around. Nah, like she was like telling people what was what.
She was like, "Listen, guys, you got to come back."
And Scotty was all like, "Oh, it's we can procedure. Totally figure it out." And Uhura was like, "Fuck off, Scotty, you got to come back."
It resembles a sensor field.
Yeah. TAS allowed Uhura to get a lot of opportunities for some like actual meaty plot and character growth, and
totally
like with the Lorelei signals, another good example where she has to save the fucking day because all the dudes are getting all horny. As much good stuff as there is in TAS episodes, there's often like some goofy weird stuff, and beyond just what we've been talking about, there was also like Spock went on this was talking about fate, and you're like, what?
Yeah, that was a weird.
That was what were you talking about? Spock.
I didn't know what that part was about. Yeah, he was. Kirk goes, I was just expressing my curiosity at our ability to get into these kinds of situations, and Spock goes, fate, Captain, fate. And Spock's like, I believe that's the correct Earth term.
Earth.
And so
Earth term.
It's a weird exchange. Was he saying fate like it was some Vulcan joke as opposed to a human joke?
Seem
was
like
it a Vulcan?
It. Yeah. I don't know.
And then like, but then there was some weird shit also where right after Kirk was like, try your Vulcan nerve pinch, and he's like, you know, I'm only a Vulcan. There are limits. And it's like, what does that even mean?
I know.
Are their necks too thick?
I didn't get that. Although I did.
Or I think it was just, what I think it was, is I think it was, they were just trying to be like, it's too convenient in this situation to be able to allow him to get out with a nerve pinch. So we'll talk it away. We'll throw a line in there to talk it
even
away.
Even if it makes absolutely no sense.
It's like, they didn't explain why he couldn't do that. They just said, I'm only a Vulcan. Like, what the fuck does that mean? And the fate was out of nowhere. It didn't have anything to do with anything. And then, like, it didn't even amount to anything.
No, it didn't. It was filling valuable screen time.
And it was all it did was function. Its only function was to be confusing.
Well, there's a bunch of confusing lines, but they're my favorite line of the whole episode. And I don't know if you recorded a clip of it, Dan, but to me, I don't know, something just stood out about this. It was when they get to the planet, and then Spock is, they're all like, see the dinosaur monster creatures, and Spock is all like, you know, oh, there's some civilization or whatever. He's like, look, they've gathered some food. And Kirk is like, and the food they've gathered is BAM!
The food they have gathered is BAM.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
I like it when he's all like, Kirk to entity, Kirk to entity.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, too. Okay,
wait.
Kirk to entity, Kirk to entity, Kirk to entity,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to entity,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to entity,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to enterprise,
entity,
Kirk to
entity,
Kirk to enterprise, Kirk to enterprise.
While Dan gets that out of his system, we got to wrap up this episode. And
Kirk to entity,
a whole
Kirk
other
to
episode.
Entity,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to enterprise,
Kirk to enterprise.
I will take that as a clue that we have largely concluded the discussion.
Kirk to enterprise. Kirk to enterprise.
Entity.
Kirk to enterprise.
Bam.
Kirk to enterprise.
Bam sucks.
Bam.
Okay. Right. Oh,
weird ass episode about an asshole.
Yeah,
he's an asshole.
The closed captionings. When he had the weird squiggly arms coming out of his pelvis.
Nah.
In the closed captioning in Chakotea, not closed captioning in Chakotea, it says in parentheses, and while his top half hangs in midair, Bem's lower half runs over to Kirk and small arms hand over the phasers and communicators. There was a lot of that weird shit. I like when they throw the communicators at each other too. Yeah, there was just, it was a bizarre fucking weird
episode.
Weird.
Briefly, I wanted to discuss before we get onto the next episode, just very briefly, you know, I was watching both of these episodes, but particularly Bem, and I was thinking, I was like, you know, what's happening in the mind of people, of these producers, writers and producers and stuff, in the early 1970s? Like, what's the context for producing an episode like this fucking episode? With a piece
of shit
asshole.
This is like
Saturday
morning cartoon.
Yeah, and for kids, right? Yeah. You know, for producing. And so I realized, I was like, you know what? I needed to do a little research into which drugs were popular at the time in the 1970s, or late 60s, early 70s. And so I looked on Wikipedia and drugs.com, a number of other resources.
Drugs.com.
Wow.
And
Chief O'Brien.
And so I discovered the following, that both the stimulant cocaine and depressant Quaaludes were really popular.
Oh, right. Quaaludes.
Quaaludes. And it's and also
consider yourself under arrest.
The combination of the two. That was a big thing, like the combining cocaine and Quaaludes in the early 70s. People were really digging on that.
Weird.
In fact, Quaaludes were nicknamed Disco Biscuits.
Disco Biscuits.
Disco Biscuits. Because the as it happens, people who do Quaaludes are really good at coming up with nicknames.
Oh, yeah? I like this line.
Communicators have been switched for phonies.
Do you know why I like that line?
Why?
Because he's basically saying these phones are phonies.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking that.
Well,
phonies,
done.
Phonies, phonies, phonies.
And he's got phony phasers and phony phone.
Yeah, and duty alert.
Beam down a security squad with heavy-duty tricorders.
Duty alert!
Heavy duty.
Another popular drug of choice in the early 1970s were called Black Beauties.
Oh, I've never heard of those.
Black Beauties?
I've heard of Disco Biscuits.
I've heard of Black Betty.
You've heard of Disco Biscuits?
Bam-ba-dam.
I mean, I've heard of Quaaludes. I never heard of Disco Biscuits.
I know. I heard Disco Biscuits. It was in some movie or TV show.
Oh,
they were,
well, it was Bullets. It was one of those...
Bullets?
Those British movies with the... What's that guy with the...
Bullets?
Like British gangster movies.
What the
fuck? Talking about Bullets.
Austin Powers.
He took too many Disco Biscuits.
Yeah,
it was in reference to Bullets.
Was talking about Matt Berry?
What was that? Wait, was that
Toast of London?
Bullet Tooth Tony.
Was it
something.
Was it a comedy?
Year of the Rabbit?
It was Snatch.
Oh, Snatch, yes. That makes sense.
I don't know if it was Snatch that I'm thinking. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay, well, that's Disco Biscuits, it's Quaaludes. Black Beauties were a combination of dextroamphetamine and levoamphetamine that provided a stimulant effect similar to cocaine, but cheaper and easier to get.
Cheaper.
They discontinued these in 1998, but they're structurally very similar to Adderall. So people who are familiar with Adderall will be at least tangentially familiar with what used to be known as Black Beauties.
I'm familiar with some people that are familiar with Adderall.
Valium was another option. Valium, though, usually in terms of abusing the drug, wasn't taken by itself. It was combined with alcohol or cocaine or amphetamine.
I think Disco Biscuits, it was coming from the mouth of a Midwesterner or someone from...
I got some Disco Biscuits.
Well, maybe not Midwestern. Where do they go, like... I got some Disco Biscuits. Where would that be?
That, like Minnesota?
Minnesota. Yeah, man, that's
Minnesota?
What I keep having in my head.
That's
it's
the
like,
Midwest.
Fargo? Did you have some Disco Biscuits?
Disco Biscuits?
I don't want to do a great
Fargo?
Is that the High Plains?
Well, you don't know. What you don't think.
Oh, were they?
Oh, hello there.
Where'd you get some Quaaludes? Did you
have some few little cocaines? No, I can't do it.
Did you get some grass or some Disco Biscuits?
Some grass.
I don't even know what accent I'm doing. Some grass or some Disco Biscuits?
Ass, grass, or gas.
Oh, no.
Is that what you were getting at? Ass, grass, or gas, which was a slogan that
this
was
guy's
also
got all
popular
three.
In the 1970s.
Don't try to be a hero.
There's, of course, the hallucinogenic drugs, LSD and psilocybin were real popular back then.
Who are you?
I could see somebody taking some acid and then making be like, hey, wouldn't it be wild if the guy split apart into three parts and had little hands that came out of his
He split into three individual parts.
and finally, it's important that we shouldn't...
This one must disassemble.
We shouldn't ignore the possibility that the madness on screen was influenced by angel dust, a.k.a. PCP.
Oh, no.
The thing about PCP, and you all might not know this, but the thing about PCP is it's one of those rare drugs where you really don't know how someone's going to react to it.
Something funny is going on.
Other drugs, there's some sort of like zone of predictability in terms of what their people are going to do. PCP is some crazy shit. People do some, they can be up, they can be down, they can do all sorts of crazy nonsense. Hallucinations.
Have you guys done any PCP?
No, but I've read about it on drugs.com. And according to them, people doing PCP are the types of people who might write an episode like this.
Holograms.
Hologram.
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 That's not from this episode.
Basically, of all the drugs listed, the one, like, PCP is the one where it's most likely to cause somebody to invent a character like Bem and not feel the least bit bad about it.
Harry Ben Bem of the planet Pandora. Kirk to Entity.
Kirk to Enterprise. Whoa.
Kirk to entity. Kirk to enterprise. Entity. Kirk to enterprise. Entity. Kirk to enterprise. Entity. Kirk to enterprise. Entity. Kirk to enterprise.
I'm freaking out, man.
Kirk to enterprise.
Demean yourself.
Everything's normal.
Demean yourself.
Everything's fine.
If you wish.
Nothing's weird.
Demean yourself.
Nothing.
Demean yourself.
Everything's fine.
If you wish.
Nothing is weird. Nothing.
Demean yourself.
Keep listening to the podcast. It's fine.
It's got Star Trek.
Demean yourself. If you wish. If you wish. If you wish.
Okay. Next episode. The Practical
I'm paralyzed.
Joker. The Practical Joker. I know we didn't get to discuss
this is a funny one.
The people beaming into the air and falling into the water. Because there was some practical joking going on in Bam a little bit. Just asshole practical joking.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
But now it's like...
There was two slapstick moments. Yeah, in the Bam, they first, the, oh yeah, why...
some of them got beamed into the water.
Why did some of them get beamed over the water?
Because Bam pushed the buttons.
Pushed the buttons around. That's the only lore we can really think of coming up with. But yeah, then there was a Scotty fall from the roof. In this one too, so there was a couple
a lot of tomfoolery.
There was falls and some slapstick falls in each one. Mm. So yeah.
Okay, so let's start the Practical Joker. The first thing I noticed was that at one point Scotty called the Romulans heathens.
Oh yeah,
And then later on he called the Romulans vultures.
Yeah,
vultures.
Right. There was kind of
no thanks to those Romulan vultures.
Yeah, the heathens really fucking. That was weird. I didn't know how to take that one. But of course, the Romulans, of course, once again were like treating the neutral zone as if it was theirs. Right. That's basically happening.
They're always in there.
Yeah. Well, the Enterprise went into the the Enterprise was like, we weren't near Romulan space, and they were like, you entered our space, so we can only assume that the Enterprise entered the neutral zone and the Romulans. But then what happens at the end of the episode?
I mean, you don't have to assume that. You could assume the Romulans are aggressive liars.
So, yeah. But then at the end of the episode, the Romulans end up going into Federation space the end because they were freaked out. But then they're the ones who actually entered the fucking other person's territory. Oh yeah, and the Romulans, we learned some new lore about them.
They all talk like this.
We learned that
I'm gonna bust you up.
We learned that Romulans fear disgrace.
Bust your ass, buddy.
We learn that when Romulans fear that... Oh, Jesus. Now I can't talk. We learn a new bit of lore, and that lore is as follows. Romulans fear disgrace more than death. Did you know that?
I did not.
I didn't know that either, but apparently that was what they said in the episode.
And I don't think it's true later either.
Yeah.
Well, okay, like there's not a lot of Romulans in TOS. There's like an episode or two, and there's
TAS,
there's a little bit, but there's like a lot of Romulans like later on.
TNG has tons of Romulan
TNG is Romulan City.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
The capital city of Romulus.
There's a new other piece of lore we learned, which is...
Bones, the worst thing you can do to a practical joker is to play a practical joke on them.
That's not Star Trek lore. That's just general life lore.
Now,
yeah.
What do you think about that theory?
Not the worst thing you can do.
Do you think that's the worst thing you can do to a practical joker?
No, I think they'd appreciate it. I think the worst thing you could do is like rip their arms off and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Be like, listen, bitch.
But if anything, they might appreciate a practical joke. I would say
I was kind of thinking that too. You know that whole, as the children like to say, game recognize game.
Oh man.
You know? As the young ones, the egglings like to say. Game recognize game.
Yes, game recognize game.
Aren't you going to click
this one is still an eggling.
But see, he's not an eggling. He was saying he was an eggling, right? Anyway, we got to stop talking about that stupid-ass episode.
Yeah.
This episode was better.
This episode was kind of like a TNG episode because it had like Romulans in the neutral zone.
Yeah, and a holodeck.
It had holodeck mishaps.
It was actually the first...
Replicator mishaps. Holograms.
This was, according to many sources, including Memory Alpha, this was not only the first true representation of a holodeck in Star Trek, although they called it a recreational deck, but this was the first time the holodeck was manifested. It wasn't the first time they had the idea. Gene Roddenberry apparently came up with the idea during season 3 of TOS, but was never able to incorporate it because of just budgetary reasons.
So this is the first time we have a holodeck, and the last episode is the first time we learned and Kirk's middle name. So that's kind of interesting, right? That's,
oh, yeah.
That's fascinating.
And it is an example of why TAS is worth watching even when the occasional episode is batshit crazy.
Whoa,
because
dude.
There is lore that you learn, like going back to you know, the first season with yesteryear with Spock. Mm-hmm. There's tons of important Spock lore that comes up later on Discovery and other and Lower Decks and other places.
So yeah, so TAS had a lot of like legitimate canon type item things.
And it also had some crazy philosophical ideas, like the worst thing you can do to a practical joker is to practical joke them.
Bones, the worst thing you can do to a practical joker is to play a practical joke on them.
The Rec Room had two funny things about it. One of them, it definitely had the thing that I've always wondered about in holodecks that I think there's some maybe discussion on that no one's quite sure, but in this episode, we were 100% sure. Uhura's idea for getting out of the snowstorm was to keep walking in a straight line till they hit the wall.
Yeah.
And so I was always, in my head, I'm like, in TNG, how do they keep people from running into walls? Do they just make them think they're walking forward? Or can you actually hit the wall in a holodeck in TNG?
I think the idea...
I think my idea is that the holodeck fools your brain into thinking you're walking straight when actually you're not.
Or it could be a conveyor belt.
I don't think it's a conveyor belt.
Why not?
Because I think the holodeck is fooling your brain into thinking it's moving.
Why can't it be both?
Because what?
You would never get to the wall in the holodeck.
And that's what we're...
The wallodeck.
Wallodeck. That's what we're asking.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a conveyor belt because that's too like analog. That's like,
why can't it be
it's like essentially a conveyor belt.
It could be a digitally controlled conveyor belt.
No, that's like saying that's like getting a hovercraft with fans on it and calling it like a hoverboard from
that's
Back to the Future 2.
You gotta
have
power.
Go across water unless you have power.
Unless you have power. Yes.
You gotta have power.
Gotta have the power.
What's wrong, McFly? Chicken? What's wrong, Colonel Sanders?
Chicken.
I was so confused because I saw Back to the Future, the first one, so long ago. And then when I saw the second one, and I'd taken a break from them for a while, and I was confused why I didn't see Needles in the first one. And I didn't realize. I was like, wait, Needles wasn't introduced until the second one.
Yeah.
And for a long time, my brain was all confused because I was pretty young when I saw him
Is your brain doing better now?
They're old movies.
Yeah,
Your brain's okay now? It's a little less confused?
It's a little less confused.
At least with regard to Back to the Future and its sequels.
I'll never tell.
I'll never tell.
So, I know, I definitely don't think it's conveyor belts in the holodeck. That's too analog. That's too low rent. Like, the conveyor belts, they're going to know they're walking on. You're not going to be fooled at all. There's no immersion with a conveyor belt.
That's my
But the other point.
I mean, I don't entirely agree, but I can. I agree in principle.
Also, the other point that something goofy about this holodeck is that when the computer was laughing, Bones thought that the laughter was audio tapes rewinding, which tells me that the sound from the Rec Room comes from audio tapes. Yeah. They have
it's old technology.
They put in a tape. All the sounds you hear is just a tape playing.
Well, they didn't know any better.
So that means in the middle of your Rec Room experience.
Yeah, they were on a bunch of Quaaludes and PCP.
If you're in the middle of your Rec Room holodeck experience, occasionally you'd hear a tape rewind, which would probably destroy its own immersion. Yeah. So I just thought it was bizarre to think that all the sound came from these analog tapes. You know,
it's another thing that occasionally destroys immersion.
When
we take a break. Well done, Dan.
Blue blazes.
Well done, Dan. Okay, we will take a quick break, and when
a cold-blooded ambush,
we will conclude our discussion of Star Trek: The Animated Series, Season 2, Episode 3, "The Practical Joker." Be right back. Okay, we're back. And,
now what?
Well, I wanted to talk about the semen.
Oh,
you know the semen that they get semen all over.
Like,
when they're drinking, like the first practical joke that they endure, they fly through the cloud, and the cloud is all like bing bang boom, and then after they fly out of the cloud, they're hanging out, they're all like, whoa, that was crazy. We had to deal with those American ass Romulans who are all like, we're going to bust your ass.
I want that Federation ship blasted into space dust.
I'm going to blast you, buddy. I'm going to blast you away.
We couldn't find the highway, so we had to take a little back road called the M5.
Commander, our instruments are useless in this field. We've lost contact with the Federation ship.
Whoops! Whoops! Whoops!
So they've dealt with these.
I've been on the M5.
These Romulans. And now they've decided they're going to relax. And the way they're going to relax is to knock back some, I don't know, glasses of milk or something? Whatever it
Perhaps
was.
This will cool you off.
The result was, and it was difficult to not think that this was a joke, like by the animators or something, but they just look like they have semen all over them. Like all of them look like they have semen on them.
Hey, that's like a place where semen leaked all over me. Yeah.
And then one of them said, we all got wet. What was that about?
We all got wet.
We all got wet. Sulu said that. Was it Sulu? Because then Kirk has a limp fork, and Sulu's all like just lunching out, laughing at Kirk's limp ass fork.
Well, that's the sound of the fork bending.
He would laugh at it.
Which is like, that's a laugh. That's like a straight up. That's a Quaalude laugh if there was ever a Quaalude laugh. There's a lot of good laughter.
What about Kirk as a jerk?
Wait, this one's my favorite. Like at the end of this. Whoa. My shit just crapped out.
Jesus, that's amazing.
There's like the replicator mishap with Scotty, and he starts like blaming the people that are just sitting there, like Eric's, and Eric's is like, wait a minute.
He was all like, somebody turn off this infertile food factory.
and like Scotty's like, I'm going to report both of you.
And then he got pied. He got pied in the face.
We're knee deep in desserts and they're still pouring out.
That was the Romulans getting food factoried.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was the dribble cum glass, right? The Kirk had the floppy fork. Spock does the old black eye on the eyepiece trick.
There was just something that was there. It was
which is also another. Spock is often goofy on this series because he does silly things like, oh, there's just some random ass equipment showed up on my desk. I'm going to look through it. What if it zapped out his eyeballs? What if it was lasers that burn your eyeballs out?
I never laugh. Here's Spock. Oops!
Slippy slides. There was lots of slippy sliding.
And that Kirk is a jerk.
Hey, this glass just leaked all over me.
Oh, yeah, the fucking, yeah.
That's the famous Kirk is a jerk.
Kirk is a jerk.
Yeah. That could have been Sulu that did that.
Yeah, probably was. That's probably where it all began.
I mean, like, it wasn't, but that would have been, you know.
And then there was a fake-out joke where at one point Mares was like, look behind you! And we all think, like, she's pulling their leg. It's like, we're going to fall for that trick. But she was actually...
Look at that cat.
But she was actually...
With her furry little fingers.
She was actually pointing at something, and I don't remember what she was pointing at.
This is also
computer.
The fog.
This is a rare episode where we get both Uhura and Mares.
That's right. Oh!
Excuse me for laughing.
Come on, Spock.
Because you need Uhura to take command of the bridge.
Yeah. As usual.
So you also needed Mares to take Uhura's job while she's commanding the bridge.
Okay, and so when it starts, the practical jokes start turning is when the deck gets covered in ice. That's when it starts turning to straight up like
it could have been covered in us.
Like that's when it turns dangerous and like the ship
it was
is
about
actually,
to be covered in us.
Then it turned to snow. Then they turned the rec room into snow and ice.
Which also looked really intense.
He tried Scotty, and then this was super defense when Scotty tried to put the computers asleep and the gravity got reversed. And that was more like a defensive maneuver.
Which, by the way, I was sort of mildly aggravated about the idea of the gravity being reversed rather than just turned off, because really it was turned off. Yeah. Reversed, first of all, is sort of a philosophically bizarre concept. But
you wouldn't float up. You would
be repulsed away.
Yeah, right.
And
so then they get gassed, which is not a practical joke. That's just straight up like fucking someone up.
But they get gassed a few times, right? The first time was with nitrous oxide.
What I'm saying is the first time they were gassed, which was a fucked up maneuver, which is not a practical joke. But what made it funny was the fact that it was laughing gas. That's why it was still in the funny zone, even though it was a straight up attack at that point.
Which, if the writers are doing the nitrous oxide, it could explain some of the writing of these episodes, except for nitrous oxide is not as long lasting. So
No, it's real quick.
Yeah. Then there was the ice eventually turns into a hedge maze, but that got fixed real quick because because they just used crowbars to open
the door. Starfleet issue future crowbars.
Right.
Which just looked like giant ass fucking crowbars.
That whole fucking rec room is confusing as fuck. Like the holodeck makes more sense to me than the rec room because like with the whole audio tapes and like all that shit.
It was not until TNG when it was more fully realized in Encounter at Farpoint and young Wesley Crusher sees Data attempting to whistle a tune and getting wet by standing on a loose rock.
So
everyone with me?
Yeah. Good. The final
television magic.
And the final joke was when the ship sends out a balloon that is 20 times the size of the Romulan.
That was tight, dude.
It was so stupid that I loved it.
But like first of all,
everyone's reaction to
Enterprise it has a balloon of another Enterprise that
The Enterprise must have made that balloon.
Yes, it must have made it so
replicated.
Hold on. So the balloon is like 20 times the size of the Romulan ship. Do we know how big the Romulan ship is comparison to the Enterprise? I want to know how many times bigger the balloon was than the Enterprise.
Those things are little than birds of prey.
The old ones were little.
Yeah. So, but
later on in TNG, the Romulans like got the big ships. Them.
So yeah, and like just like with the laughing gas, now the defenses just happen to. It's like these are straight up like attack, like defensive attacks that are just happen to be funny, right? That's what the balloon was. Even it was the best because it was straight up like trying to fuck the Romulans up, but it was just hilarious.
Hilarious way. Yeah,
it was really ridiculous. And so the whole reason the Romulans were only there in that episode was to like get them to go through that field. The whole episode, it was entertaining. But like the Romulans were only there as a reason to kick off them going through that field, and the field was just like some random device that like was like, okay, now the computer's playing practical jokes on people because, oh, I don't know, the Romulans chasing through the field that gave the computer a nervous breakdown, you know?
Nervous breakdown. I know it's an outdated term.
Right.
Right?
Outdated.
An outdated term.
Precisely.
A nervous breakdown. And it's an outdated term. We don't use it anymore, all right?
Yeah, it's what does that even mean?
But, what does it mean? It's an evocative term. When you hear somebody say nervous breakdown, your brain is like, shit.
Oh,
I don't even know what that fucking means.
That's the end.
I think part of the effectiveness of the term nervous breakdown is that it's semi-nonsensical. And so people, you don't actually know what it means. So
it's your 19th nervous breakdown.
You remember Bob back in the mail room? He had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
All you need to be is like, oh shit, I don't know what that is, but it's fucked up. Right.
You had to go to the hospital and shit.
But that's not even my problem.
That is interesting. The term nervous breakdown, like you just said, it is interesting because it makes it sound like your brain just completely broke.
But
all it means is you're just having a hard time, really. But
you had like a panic attack.
Yeah, right. But they call it like, your brain fell apart.
I think there's probably 100 different legitimate mental disorders that fall under that umbrella. But let's take all that aside.
Hold together, little darling, hold together.
And be like, okay, this is made in 1974. They're going to use the term nervous break. I get it. All right. That's not my issue.
Please.
My issue is the apparent asserted logic that somebody having a nervous breakdown will play a bunch of practical jokes.
Yeah, it was a weird connection to make.
It didn't make any sense. They're like, the ship is having like a nervous break. It's like, no, it's not. Like, it's not a nervous breakdown. That's not what happens when people have a quote unquote nervous breakdown. When somebody is dealing with like a severe anxiety issue or something like that, they're not like, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll play a bunch of practical jokes on people that become increasingly dangerous.
I'm not practical jokes.
It's like, when is it like, I get it. Okay, you make it look like everyone's got semen on their shirt. That's funny. That's a practical joke.
Bendy forks. But
this glass just leaked all over me.
But when you start like making people get hurt and freeze to death and have other problems, that's not so funny.
No,
I don't know. Maybe that's the lesson. I don't know.
Sabotage.
It was like Badgie.
Badgie.
A little bit like Badgie.
It was reminiscent.
It's a fucked up practical joker is what it comes down to. Now, can you explain to me, because I'm guessing I missed some dialogue, or maybe I'm giving too much credit to the writers. It was like, clearly it was something living in the cloud, the energy explosion cloud that was the practical joker. They said something about bacteria or something getting in the computer system. But I just don't know what it... Yeah. I don't know what it... I can't remember if they explained it or not, other than to say that, there's some sort of ghost, hilarious ghost creature living in there that just likes to fuck around with people.
I just thought, I didn't realize they gave an explanation.
Yeah, because it was all about why they went back through the cloud, which is another classic TAS thing that happened a lot, which was like, just do the same thing, the same thing backwards, and it solves the problem.
Spock says, you recall that energy field we passed through? Kirk says, certainly. Spock says, apparently subatomic particles from that field have invaded our computer circuits, much like bacteria infect living matter. As a result, the Enterprise is suffering from the electronic equivalent of a nervous breakdown. And so, yes, there was subatomic particles that behaved like bacteria infecting living matter. So subatomic
They weren't bacteria, they behaved like bacteria.
Subatomic particles are to the Enterprise as bacteria is to living matter.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Apparently.
No.
Across a number of scientific fields.
You bloody big scattered brain.
What do you think about grilled cheese on rye? I think that sounds pretty good.
Depends on the cheese.
I do. Did somebody order that?
Scotty ordered that.
Oh, Scotty ordered. That's interesting.
What do you think about PB&J on rye?
It's fine. Not my preference. I like potato bread usually.
It can work.
Yeah.
It can work under a certain state. I would prefer.
Depends on the rye.
I would want the rye to be toasted if I'm going to have PB&J. Yeah. I want the peanut butter
grill it.
Yeah. Oh, grilled. Yeah.
In butter.
Grilled or toasted. I do my PB&Js are always toasted. Mm-hmm. But again, my preference for PB&J is a potato bread, specifically usually Martin's potato bread.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
It's got sandwiches.
This is the weakest.
Cheers.
To us.
I know, right?
To us. It's like they didn't know what to say. It's like they were like, there's no script here. Just like say some things. They're like, oh, yay. We liked it. That's great.
Delicious.
Good chance they were recording at different times, too. So that might have been.
And they were on Quaaludes.
And they were all like, you're on Quaaludes, PCP, cocaine.
Petrified 1974.
Barbiturates. The whole nervous breakdown thing wasn't cool with that.
It petrifies me.
I love that. We've never seen that face on Kirk before, that panic face that they gave in the filmation. Like, I've never seen Kirk have that face.
I dug that resolution. And as there's a bunch of silly stuff in this episode. And
no, but I'm talking about like the actual animated.
I understand. It looked. I mean,
bizarre.
I was about to attribute this to the acting of William Shatner, which of course does not make sense in the context of his face in an animated series. But in my mind, I'm imagining Shatner making that face, that like, ooh, like that horrified face. He looked pretty fucking horrified.
Whoops.
Let's not spoil their fun just yet.
Whoops.
But it was both funny to see Kirk like that. And also hilarious. Funny and hilarious are synonyms.
I would say hilarious is a little more intense than funny.
Yes, but they're still synonyms. Even if there is they're categorical synonyms. Thesaurus.com would rate them as synonyms.
Thesaurus.
It might put hilarious lower down the list.
No.
Yes. Yes.
That is for me to know and for you to find out.
That was my favorite computer line.
That was pretty good. It was just so childish.
Yeah.
Even the alien bacteria robots are childish.
Go ahead and laugh. Big joke.
Scotty had some attitude in this
episode.
He did
have some attitude. Yeah. I mean, everybody did. You could tell it was starting to aggravate them. But what I was saying is that the Kirk acting scared as a way to trick the...
Right.
Computer into going to the thing. Yes, it was simplistic, but I don't know. It worked.
It worked. It was fine. It was better than like whatever happened in BEM that resolved the episode.
Well, I also like one thing I like about the Kirk character is when Kirk is not ashamed to act the fool or act dumb or act scared. And I think that's probably true of a lot of our captains, but I think you see it a few times with Kirk where there's no ego in it. And it's not like Kirk has no ego. It's just that to save the day, to save his crew, he's perfectly happy to look like a jackass if that's going to be a mechanism for saving the crew. It's like in that other TOS episode, remember when he has to like get the warlock powers and do a bunch of wizard fighting? Like he's
they go to through the center of the universe or something, and they go to the magic land,
and there's a bunch of Puritans and the devil is involved somehow.
Yeah,
petrifies me.
I think that's always cool when I like seeing characters do that because I so often get aggravated by people in the real world who make poor decisions or cause harm.
I always thought
in
it was,
part because they don't want to look like a
I always
fool.
Thought it was weird when actors have a clause where they can't like lose a fight in a movie or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, that was people like
I think The Rock didn't Rock have something like
The
that?
The Rock and Stallone and a number of people yeah. had that in certain contracts.
Someone told me once that I don't know if this is true. I have no way of confirming that. But what's the Indecent Proposal? Mm-hmm. Someone told me this might be total bullshit, but okay. somebody told me that the original ending for an Indecent Proposal was that she wasn't going to have sex with Robert Redford.
Okay.
But Robert Redford was like, no, like I'm not going to be snuffed like that in a movie. Meaning like if I make
snubbed.
Snubs, yes, not snubbed. Yes.
Have you been watching a lot of snuff films?
I'll give you a snub.
Oh no.
And then he was like, no, like if I want somebody in a movie, I have to get them in a movie because it looks bad on me as an actor if I don't get them. I think that's total bullshit.
I would be surprised if that were true.
But I was a kid at the time and an adult told me that. So I had no choice but to believe
and
them.
Previously, earlier in the podcast, you mentioned that as a child, your brain was very confused.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you were like, my brain was just so confused. You waved your hands above your head.
Well, are you sure I wasn't meaning I'm confused like right now?
I think
I was meaning right now.
It could be that I'm confused right now.
I think I was trying to say something and then I was being assaulted by subatomic particles or something. I had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, well, again.
No practical jokes.
Because like, I think you, whether that's true or not, it's a good example of the something we do see often, which undercuts characters and real life people too, where it's like you shouldn't only do the right thing when you're seen to be doing the right thing. You should
precisely
should be able to do the right thing even if it might be cause some embarrassment. And
precisely.
And this is a minor example of that, but I thought it was effective because they really did make it seem like Kirk looked horrified.
Precisely.
Except when he started talking, then he was like, "Oh,
there it is again."
There it is again, indeed. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I really was.
I love that hit. Yeah. I'm going to use that in the future. For
yeah,
sure.
Please. Yes, that's one to save.
That's one. That's going into the best of right
well,
now.
Well, Steve O'Brien,
because the end music for the previous episode was this. There's that standard end music that they always, not always, right. obviously, but frequently play at the end of TOS, where it's like dun 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 dun.
Sound like Beavis and Butthead.
But they didn't play it in this episode because they had this hilarious creepy clown music, but the fun kind, you know, like the dunk. Because it was
hold together, little darling, hold together.
Because the episode was about a practical joker. If you know. Am I right or am I right? Or am
Star
I
Star Trek is hilarious.
It can be. It can be hilarious. All right. Anything else about this episode?
I recorded all the explosions, which is about a total of 40 seconds of just...
Okay, I want to hear. I do want to hear. I do. I'm a big fan of cacophony.
Okay.
It worked.
Jesus Christ. It really is cacophony.
Yeah.
Because it's just...
It's not fair.
Bomb. That's ridiculous. Yeah, a lot of good sounds coming out of this.
I recorded 29 laughed sounds. There were 29 of them that I got in this episode.
And then how many things that you did you label beats? Because Dan, for those who don't know at home, Dan will periodically find clips that have sort of a musical, rhythmic syncopation.
So
and he will label them as beats.
For BEM, I had two, which was like, I won't do the whole thing.
But... You may demean yourself.
Hell yeah.
Demean yourself if you wish. If you wish.
And then I also had in BEM, I had
Kirk to entity. Kirk to enterprise.
Kirk to entity.
Kirk to entity. Kirk to enterprise. Kirk to entity.
And then,
Kirk to enterprise.
And then, of course, the extra one that we found that, along the way.
Yeah, Patrick. I was Patrick pointed out.
Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro. Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro. Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro.
I like that.
Area Ben Bem of the planet
that makes
Pandro.
Me, that makes me feel ready to go out on a Saturday night.
Hell yeah.
You know what,
yeah.
I mean? You know what I mean?
Now, there wasn't really a good one for this episode. I do have one, but it kind of sucks. It's just...
There it is again. 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 There it is again.
I know what you're saying.
Because,
yeah.
Because as everyone knows, you always end on a weak one. So yeah. I ended on the weak beat. Yeah. But maybe I can maybe I can salvage it by
classic
somehow.
Classic case of ending on the weak beat.
Ending on the weak beat. You're the weak. You're the weak beat.
Oh.
Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro. Area Ben Bem of the planet
into three individual
Area Ben
parts.
Bem of the planet Pandro. Area Ben Bem of the planet
excursion.
Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro. Area Ben
Bem of the planet three individual parts.
Ben Bem
Pandronian's actions just
Area
don't
Ben
make
Bem
sense.
Of the planet Pandro. Area Ben Bem of the planet
excursion.
Area Ben Bem of the planet Pandro.
Good. Good. Good for you.
Communicators have been switched for phonies.
Our phones are phonies. Right. Our phones are phonies, everybody.
All right, we're into the repeating section of the show.
Phones
which
are phonies.
We can start to close things down.
Holograms.
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 Good. Thank you for good measure.
Stop that.
You play a bunch of. I believe that was from.
Where
episode,
would I stay?
I believe the holograms were from episode 170 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, in which
holograms.
We discussed Deep Space Nine's Shadow Play.
It's funny you remember the number.
Yeah, and then
I don't remember the numbers for any of our podcasts.
And then I remember the numbers for some of them. Not for
I don't
others.
Even remember the one we're on now.
We're on. It's 217. Is the
what?
Current one.
Get out of the city.
You played the recording, one of my favorite recordings ever, of Charles Tripp Tucker III asking where he will stay. And that,
where would I stay?
Yeah, and that is from Star Trek Enterprise Season 4, Episode 2. Home is the name of the
well,
episode.
I had no doubt about that.
I don't remember which episode of the podcast that was. It was, I don't know, it was a while back.
I don't get it.
What about this one?
B'Elanna is on it. B'Elanna is on it.
That was from Star Trek Voyager, but I don't remember the is that shit. I think that's episode 169 of the podcast, but I don't remember which episode it was.
Levick.
Silic.
Okay, now that's Enterprise and Lower Decks.
Levick.
Silic.
I like this game.
This is a fun game.
Perhaps we'll do a bonus episode consisting of entirely of this game.
Perhaps we
at
shall.
At some point in the future.
Perhaps we shan't not do it.
All right. But that'll do it with regard for us this week with regard to the conversation about these two episodes of Star Trek.
She's going to make fools of the Romulans.
The animated series.
They... pretty,
but
please.
Fear not,
with
folks.
With sugar on.
Did you notice he says, say pretty please with sugar on? She doesn't say pretty please with
sugar
on top.
On.
Yeah. She doesn't say sugar on top.
Do you think that's an error, or do you think that's an alternate form of the aphorism?
I'm going to guess it's an alternate form, but I've only ever heard it say pretty please with sugar on
top. Aphorisms come in all sorts of flavors.
I almost got to the end of that one. I've usually say pretty please with sugar on top.
Yeah.
And she said, say pretty please with sugar on.
Yeah. Did you think it was meant to be sexy when Uhura says something about after that ride I could use some repairs? Or do you think she was admitting to being a robot?
It was a weird thing to say.
I think the joke was that, you know, you got tossed around after in the storm cloud.
Yeah.
Answer. That is for me to know and for you to find out.
Fair point. Fair
so
point.
Next week will be our 300th episode.
Okay. Jesse's
no practical jokes
causing confusion. Next week, you need not fear. You may fear not.
300
fear not, because next week we will be discussing on the 218th.
Go ahead and laugh. Big joke.
218th episode. 218th episode. Of It's Got Star Trek, we will be discussing.
There's that laugh again.
All of the very short Treks.
When you all finish laughing, I'd appreciate an explanation.
Okay.
I never laugh.
All right. The explanation is... brain. I'm having a nervous breakdown. I'm going to start doing practical jokes all over the place. We will be doing the very short Trek.
This glass just leaked all over me.
These are controversial. Oh, the very short Treks were controversial. We'll get into that.
Whoops!
But that's the focus of next week. Note, we're not.
I love this one.
Here's Spock.
Whoops! We're not doing the short Treks.
Go ahead and laugh. It's not big joke.
It's not the short Treks. We've done some short Treks, but that's not what we're doing next week. Next week is only the very,
very
short Treks. They're all available. I think they're on YouTube and or Paramount Plus, but I think they're on YouTube. So they're definitely on YouTube. You go find them, watch them, get mad at them, enjoy them, love them, hate them, get that all ready. And if you want to send in an email, you can send that into feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. That's feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. That's for regular old fashioned email.
Let's not spoil their fun just yet.
If, however, you'd like to send us in a voicemail, like Jesse did earlier, you can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com/record and record up to 90 seconds of message, and that'll get sent right to us. Of course, we will happily accept MP3s, WAVs, other files, if you want to record it yourself, but definitely take advantage of itsgotstartrek.com/record as an easy way to get us a voicemail message, and we'll play it, and we would welcome your contributions to talk about the very short Treks. But actually, you know, you'll have very little time to do that. So I shouldn't even worry. I shouldn't even ask for contributions for that. We're recording early next week because I've got to go to San Diego. But we do welcome voicemails across a variety of topics.
Report. Come on, Spock.
Yeah.
Where's that Vulcan sense of humor?
That's the effect of laughing gas, people. Okay. Last thing, social media. Find us on the social media at It's Got Star Trek everywhere. You know, all the normal places. In the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you will enjoy future episodes. And they will all be chill. They will all be relaxed.
Totally chill.
Very relaxed. Very calm. And listen to this podcast again next
300th
week.
300th episode.
No, it's not the 300th episode. All right. Goodbye.
Go ahead and laugh. Big joke.
It appears to be a legitimate fog. Perhaps the humidification system is...
Here's Spock.
Whoops!
Amazing. This deck is covered with ice.
And it was almost covered with us.